The Poems of Sappho, an interpretative rendition into English, Sappho. Listen to and download free AI-generated audiobooks at 3ords.com. The Project Gutenberg ebook of The Poems of Sappho, an interpretative rendition into English. This ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms of the Project Gutenberg license included with this ebook or online at www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook. Title: The Poems of Sappho, an interpretative rendition into English. Translator: John Myers O'Hara. Author: Sappho. Release date: February 22, 2013. Ebook 42166. Most recently updated: January 18, 2026. Language: English. Other information and formats: www.gutenberg.org/ebook/42166. Credits: produced by Heather Strickland and Mark DeHoog. Images generously made available by the Internet Archive. Asterisk: start of the project. GUTMBRG EBOOK, the POEMS of Sappho, an interpretative rendition into English. Asterisk: The Poems of Sappho, an interpretative rendition into English, by John Myers O'Hara, Portland, MDCCCCX, Sappho and Her Compions. Contents: who shall strike the wax of mystery from those priceless amphorae and give to the unsophisticated nostrils of the average reader the ravishing bouquet of wine pressed in a garden in Mytilene 25 centuries ago? Morris Thompson. Then to me so lying awake a vision came without sleep over the seas and touched me, softly touched mine eyelids and lips, and I too, full of the vision, saw the white implacable Aphrodite, saw the hair unbound and the feet unsandaled, shine as fire of sunset on western waters, saw the reluctant feet, the straining plumes of the doves that drew her, looking always, looking with necks reverted back to Lesbos, back to the hills whereunder shone Mytilene. SWNBURNE. Omega Theta Epsilon Omicron Iota, Pi Iota Sigma Letter 1 F 0 6 Rho Alpha, Cap Upsilon Pi Rho Iota Sigma, Letter 1 F 2 2 Tau Iota Sigma, Mu Epsilon Rho Omicron Sigma, Tau Omicron Letter 1 F E 1 Delta Epsilon Xi Nu Upsilon Eta Psi Alpha Tau Omicron. Sophocles, Sapphix. The Muses. Hither now, O Muses, leaving the golden house of God unseen in the azure spaces. Come and breathe on bosom and brow and kindle song like the sunglow. Come and lift my shaken soul to the sacred. Shadow cast by Helicon's rustling forests, sweep on wings of flame from the middle ether. Seize and uplift me, thrill my heart that throbs with unwonted fervor. Chasten mouth and throat with immortal kisses, till I yield on maddening heights the very breath of my body, Musagetes. Come with Musagetes, ye hours and graces, dance around the team of swans that attend him, up Parnassian heights to his holy temple, high on the hilltop. Come, ye Muses, too, from the shades of Pindus. Let your songs that echo on winds of rapture wake the lyre he tunes to the sweet inspiring sound of your voices. Love's banquet, if Panormus, Cyprus, or Paphos hold thee, either home of gods or the island temple, hark again and come at my invocation. Goddess benefic, come thou, foam-born Cypris, and pour in dainty cups of amber gold thy delicate nectar, subtly mixed with fire that will swiftly kindle love in our bosoms. Thus the bowl ambrosial was stirred in Paphos for the feast, and taking the burnished ladle, Hermes poured the wine for the gods who lifted reverent beakers. High they held their goblets and made libation, spilling wine as pledge to the fates and Hades, quaffing deep and binding their hearts to Eros, lauding thy servant. So to me and my Lesbians round me gathered, each made mine an amphor of love long tasted, bid us drink, who sigh for thy thrill ecstatic, passion's full goblet, grant me this, O Cypris, and on thy altar. Dawn will see a goat of the breed of Naxos, snowy doves from Kos and the drip of rarest, Lesbian vintage, for a regal taste is mine and the glowing, zenith lure and beauty of suns must bright. Love for me that ever upon perfection, trembles elusive, moon and stars, when the moon at full on the sill of heaven, lights her beacon, flooding the earth with silver. All the shining stars that about her cluster hide their fair faces, so when Anactoria's beauty dazzles, sight of mine, grown dim with the joy it gives me. Gorgo, Atais, Gyrino, all the others fade from my vision. Ode to Anactoria, peer of gods to me is the man thy presence crowns with joy. Who hears, as he sits beside thee, accents sweet of thy lips the silence breaking, with lovely laughter tones that make the heart in my bosom flutter. For if I the space of a moment even near to thee come, any word I would utter instantly fails me, vein my stricken tongue would a whisper fashion. Subtly under my skin runs fire ecstatic, straightway mist surge dim to my eyes and leave them. Reft of their vision echoes ring in my ears, a trembling seizes, all my body bathed in soft perspiration, pale as grass I grow in my passion's madness, like one insensate, but must I dare all since to me unworthy? Bliss thy beauty brings that a god might envy, never yet was fervid woman a fairer image of Kypris. Ah, undying daughter of God, befriend me. Calm my blood that thrills with impending transport, feed my lips the murmur of words to stir her. Bosom to pity, overcome with kisses her faintest protest, melt her mood to mine with amorous touches, till her low assent and her sighs abandon, lure me to rapture. The rose, if it pleased the whim of Zeus in an idol, hour to choose a king for the flowers, he surely would have crowned the rose for its regal beauty, deeming it peerless, by its grace is valley and hill embellished. Earth is made a shrine for the lover's ardor, dear it is to flowers as the charm of lovely. Eyes are to mortals joy and pride of plants and the garden's glory. Beauty's blush it brings to the cheek of meadows, draining fire and dew from the dawn for rarest. Color and odor, softly breathed, its scent is a plea for passion. When it blooms to welcome the kiss of Kypris, sheathed in fragrant leaves its tremulous petals, laugh in the zephyr, ode to Aphrodite. Aphrodite, subtle of soul and deathless. Daughter of God, weaver of wiles, I pray thee, neither with care, dread mistress, nor with anguish, slay thou my spirit. But in pity hasten, come now if ever, from afar of old when my voice implored thee. Thou hast deigned to listen, leaving the golden house of thy father with thy chariot yoked, and with doves that drew thee, fair and fleet around the dark earth from heaven, dipping vibrant wings down the azure distance. Through the mid-ether, very swift they came, and thou, gracious vision, leaned with face that smiled in immortal beauty, leaned to me and asked, what misfortune threatened why I had called thee? What my frenzied heart craved in utter yearning, whom its wild desire would persuade to passion, what disdainful charms, madly worshipped, slight thee, who wrongs thee, Sappho? She that fain would fly, she shall quickly follow, she that now rejects, yet with gifts shall woo thee, she that heeds thee not, soon shall love to madness, love thee, the loth one. Come to me now thus, goddess, and release me. From distress and pain, and all my distracted heart would seek, do thou, once again fulfilling, still be my ally, summer, slumber streams from quivering leaves that listless, bask in heat and stillness of Lesbian summer, breathless swoons the air with the apple blossoms. Delicate odor from the shade of branches that droop and cover, shallow trenches winding about the orchard. Restful comes and cool to the sense, the flowing murmur of water, the garden of the nymphs, all around through the apple boughs in blossom. Murmur cool the breezes of early summer, and from leaves that quiver above me gently. Slumber is shaken, glades of poppies swoon in the drowsy languor. Dreaming roses bend, and the oleanders bask and nod to drone of bees in the silent fervor of noontide, myrtle coverts hedging the open vista, dear to nightly frolic of nymph and satyr, yield a mossy bed for the brown and weary limbs of the shepherd, echo ever wafts through the drooping frondage, ceaseless silver murmur of water falling. In the grotto cool of the nymphs, the sacred haunt of immortals, down the sides of rocks that are gray and lichened, trickle tiny rills, whose expectant tinkle drips with gurgle hushed in the clear glimmering depths of the basin, fair on royal couches of leaves recumbent, interspersed with languor of waxen lilies. Lotus flowers empurple the pool whose edges, cushioned with mosses, here recline the nymphs at the hour of twilight, back in shadows dim of the cave, their golden, sea-green eyes half-lidded up to their supple, waists in the water. Sheltered once by ferns, I espied them binding, tresses long, the tint of lilac and orange, just beyond the shimmer of light their bodies. Roseate glistened, deftly then they girdled their loins with garlands. Linked with leaves luxuriant limb and shoulder, on their breasts they bruised the red blood of roses. Fresh from the garden, she of orange hair was the nymph Euxanthes, and the lilac tressed were Iphis and Io, how they laughed, relating at length their ease in, evading the satyr, Aphrodite's doves, when the drifting gray of the vesper shadow dimmed their upward path through the midmost azure, and the length of night overtook them distant. Far from Olympus, far away from splendor and joy of Paphos, from the voice and smile of their peerless mistress, back to whom their truant wings were in rapture, speeding belated, chilled at heart and grieving they drooped their pinions. Circled slowly, dipping in flight toward Lesbos, down through dusk that darkened on Mytilene's, columns of marble down through glory wan of the fading sunset, veering ever toward the abode of Sappho, toward my home, the fane of the glad devoted. Slave of the goddess, soon they gained the tile of my roof and rested, slipped their heads beneath their wings while I watched them. sink to sleep and dreams in the warm and drowsy. Night of Midsummer, Anacreon's song, golden-throned muse, sing the song that in olden days was sung of love and delight in Teos, in the goodly land of the lovely women, strains that in other years the hoary bard with the youthful fancy, set to mirthful stir of flutes when the dancing, nymphs that poured the wine for the poet's banquet. Mixed it with kisses, sing the song while I in the arms of it hies, seal her lips to mine with a lover's fervor, breathe her breath and drink her sighs to the honeyed, lull of the Melix, the daughter of Cyprus. Dreaming I spake with the daughter of Cyprus, heard the languor soft of her voice, the blended, suave accord of tones interfused with laughter, low and desireful, dreaming saw her dread ineffable beauty, saw through texture fine of her clinging tunic, blush the fire of flesh, the rose of her body. Radiant, blinding, saw through filmy meshes the melting lovely, flow of line, the exquisite curves whence piercing, rapture reached with tangible touch to thrill me. Almost to slay me, saw the gleaming foot and the golden sandal, held by straps of Lydian work thrice doubled, over the instep's arch and up the rounded, dazzling ankle, saw the charms that shimmered from knee to shoulder, hint of hues than milk or the snowdrift whiter, secret grace, the shrine of the soul of passion. Glows that consumed me, saw the gathered mass of her xanthic tresses, mitre bound, escape from the clasping fillet, float and shine as clouds in the sunset splendor. Mists in the dawn fire, saw the face immortal and daring greatly, raised my eyes to hers of unfathomed azure, drank their world's desire, their limitless longing, swooned and was nothing, the distaff. Come, ye dainty graces and lovely muses, rosy-armed and pure and with fairest tresses, come from groves on Helicon's hill where murmur. Founts that are holy, come with dancing step and with lips harmonic, gather near and view my ivory distaff, gift from Kos my brother Charaxus brought me, sailing from Egypt, sailing back to Lesbos from far Naucrates, from the seven mouths of the Nile and Egypt. Up the blue Aegean, the island-dotted, ocean of Hellas, choicest wool alone will I spin for fabrics, winding reel with threads for the cloths as fleecy, soft and fine as they bring from far Phocia. Sidon or Sardis, while I weave my thought shall engird the giver, whether here or far on the sea or resting, couched in shady courts with the lovely garland, girls of Naucrates, the sleep wind, softer than mists o'er the pale green of waters, or the charmed sea, shod with sandals of shadow, comes the warm sleep wind of Argolis, floating, garlands of fragrance, comes the sweet wind by the still hours attended, touching tired lids on the shores dim with distance, ever its way toward the headland of Lesbos. Toward Mytilene, faintly one fair star of evening enkindles, on the dusk afar its lone fire Otian, shining serene till the darkness will deepen, others to splendor, bringing ineffable peace and the gladsome, return with the night of all things that morning, ruthlessly parted the child to its mother, lover to lover, from the marble court of rose-crowned companions, all alone my feet again seek the little theater pledged to the muse, now deserted, facing the surges, where the carved panheads that laugh down the gentle slope of broad steps to the refluent ripple, flute from their thin pipes the dithyrambs deathless, songs all unuttered, empty each seat where my girlfriends acclaimed me, poets with names on the tiered stone engraven, over whose verge blooms the apple tree, drifting, perfume and petals gone Telesippa and tender Gyreno, Anactoria, woman divine, et highs, subtlest of soul, fair Damophila, Dica, maids of the muses, here an hour passed, solen ravished they listened. While my rapt heart breathed its paean impassioned, chanted its wild prayer to thee, Aphrodite, daughter of Cyprus, now to their homes are they gone in the city, pensive to dream limb relaxed while the languid slaves come and lift from the tresses they loosen, flowers that have faded, thou alone, Sappho, art soul with the silence, soul with night and dreams that are darkness, weaving, thoughts that are sighs from the heart and their meaning, vague as the shadow, when the great silence shall come to thee, sad one. Men that forget shall remember thy music, murmur thy name that shall steal on their passion, soft as the sleep wind, the reproach. Kypris, hear my prayer to thee and the Nereids, safely bring the ship of my brother homewards. Bring him back unharmed to the heart that loves him, throbbing remorseful, fair immortal, banish from mind, I pray thee, every discord's hint that of yore estranged us, grant that never again dissensions hateful wrangle shall part us, may he never in days to come remember. Keen reproach of mine that had grieved him sorely, words that broke my very heart when I heard them, uttered by others' words that wounded deep and recurring often, bowed his head with shame at the public banquet, where my scorn amid festal joy and laughter sharpened the covert jests that stung his pride and assailed his folly. Slave espoused when he, a Lesbian noble, might have won the fairest in Mytilene, Virgins the noblest opened slurs that linked his name with Doricha. Lovely slave that Xanth had sold in Egypt, she whose wondrous charms the wealth of Charaxis, ransomed from bondage, now that he is gone and my anger vanished. Keen regret and grief for the pain I gave him, pierce my heart and fear of loss that is anguish, darkens the daylight, long ago beloved thy memory atties, saddens still my heart as the soft yalik. Twilight deepens down on the sea and fitful, winds that have wandered, over groves of myrtle at Amathont, waft forgotten passion on breaths of perfume, long ago how madly I loved thee atties, faithless, light-hearted, loved one mine no more who lovest another more than me, the silent flute and the faded, garlands haunt the heart of me thou forgettest, long since thy lover Epithalamia threnodes, Hymenaeus, artisans, raise high the roof beam, tall is the bridegroom as Ares, taller by far than the tallest. O Hymenaeus, I, towering over his fellows, as over men of all other, lands towers the lesbian singer, O Hymenaeus, well-favored too is the maiden, eyes that are sweeter than honey, fair both in face and in figure, O Hymenaeus, for there was never another, virgin in loveliness like her, by Aphrodite so honored, O Hymenaeus, O happy bridegroom, the wedding, comes to the point of completion, thou hast the maid of thy choosing, O Hymenaeus, see how a paleness suffuses, soft o'er her exquisite features. Passion's benign premonition, O Hymenaeus, go to the couch unreluctant, rejoicing and sweet to the bridegroom, he in his turn is rejoicing. O Hymenaeus, may Hesperus lead thee and Hera, she whom tonight that ye honor, silver-throned goddess of marriage, O Hymenaeus, bridal song, bride that goest to the bridal chamber in the dove-drawn car of Aphrodite, by a band of dimpled, love-surrounded bride of maidens all the fairest image, middling treasures of the goddess, rosy-ankled graces. Are thy playmates, bride, O fair and lovely, thy companions? Are the gracious hours that onward passing for thy gladsome footsteps? Scatter garlands, bride, that blushing like the sweetest apple, on the very branches end so strangely, overlooked, ungathered by the gleaner's bride, that like the apple that was never, overlooked but out of reach so plainly, only one thy rarest. Fruit may gather, bride, that into womanhood has ripened, for the harvest of the bridegroom only, he alone shall taste thy hoarded sweetness. Epithalamium, Vesper is here. Behold, faint gleams that welcome shine, rise from the feast, O youths, and chant the fescennine, before the porch we sing, the hymeneal song, Vesper is here, O youths, the star we waited long, we lead the festal groups. Cross the bridegroom's porch, Vesper is here, O youths, wave high the bridal torch, hail, noble bridegroom, hail, the virgin fair has come unlatch the door and lead her timid footsteps home. Hail, noble bridegroom, hail, straight as a tender tree, fond as a folding vine. Thy bride will cling to thee, Pyria's rose. Pale death shall come, and thou and thine shall be, then and thereafter to all memory. Forgotten as the wind that yesterday blew the last lingering apple buds away, for thou hadst never that undying rose. To grace the brow and shed immortal glows, Pyria's fadeless flower that few may claim, to wreathe and save thy unremembered name, I. Even on the fields of Dis unknown, obscure among the shadows and alone, thy flitting shade shall pass uncomforted. Of any heed from all the flitting dead. But no one maid, I think, beneath the skies, at any time shall live and be as wise, in sooth as I am, for the Muses nine, have made me honored and their gifts are mine, and men, I think, will never quite forget my songs or me, so long as stars shall set, or sun shall rise, or hearts feel love's desire. My voice shall cross their dreams, a sigh of fire, lament for Adonis. Ah, for Adonis, see, he is dying, delicate, lovely, slender Adonis. Ah, for Adonis. Weep, O ye maidens, beating your bosoms, rending your tunics, O Cytherea, hasten, for never loved thou another as thy Adonis, see on the rosy cheek with its dimple, blushing no longer, Thanatos' shadow. Save him, O goddess, thou the beguiler, all-powerful, holy, stay the dread evil, ah, for Adonis, no more at vintage. Time will he come with bloom of the meadows. Ah, for Adonis, see, he is dying, fading as flowers with the lost summer, the stricken flower. Think not to ever look as once of yore. It hies upon my love, for thou no more wilt find intact upon its stem the flower. Thy guile left slain and bleeding in that hour, so ruthless shepherds crush beneath their feet, the hill flower blooming in the summer heat, the hyacinth whose purple heart is found, left bruised and dead to darken on the ground, death, death is an evil, so the gods decree, so they have judged and such must rightly be, our mortal view, for they who dwell on high, had never lived had it been good to die. And so the poet's house should never know, of tears and lamentations any show, such things befit not us who deathless sing, of love and beauty, gladness and the spring. No hint of grief should mar the features of our dreams of endless beauty, lasting love, for they reflect the joy inviolate, eternal calm that fronts whatever fate. Clays, my darling, grieve no more, I pray. Let wandering winds thy sorrow bear away. And all our care, my daughter, let thy smile shine through thy tears and gladden me the while, Persephone. I saw a tender maiden plucking flowers once long ago in the bright morning hours, and then from heaven I saw a sudden cloud fall swift and dark and heard her cry aloud. Again I looked, but from my open door, my anxious eyes espied the maid no more. The cloud had vanished, bearing her away to under lands beyond the smiling day. Parthenia, Didactica, maidenhood, do I long for maidenhood, do I long for days when upon the mountain slope I would stand and gaze over the Aegean's blue, melting into mist. Ere with love my virgin lips Cercolas had kissed, maidenhood, O maidenhood, whither hast thou flown? To a land beyond the sea thou hast never known, maidenhood, O maidenhood. Wilt return to me, never will my bloom again give its grace to thee. Now the autumn skies are low, youth and summer sped, shepherd hills are far away, Cercolas is dead. Mitylene's marble courts echo with my name. Maidenhood, we never dreamed, long ago of fame, ever maiden. I shall be ever maiden, ever the little child. In my passionate quest for the lovely, by earth's glad wonder beguiled, I shall be ever maiden, standing in soul apart, for the gods give the secret of beauty alone to the virgin heart. Clays, daughter of mine, so fair, with a form like a golden flower, wherefore thy pensive air and the dreams in the myrtle bower. Clays, beloved, thy eyes that are turned from my gaze, thy hand that trembles so, I prize more than all the Lydian land, more than the lovely hills. With the Lesbian olive crowned, tell me, darling, what ills in the gloom of thy thought are found. Daughter of mine, come near, and thy head on my knees recline, whisper and never fear, for the beat of thy heart is mine. Sweet mother, I can turn with content to my loom no more. My bosom throbs, I yearn for a youth that my eyes adore, like as of Eresus, whom I knew when a little child. My heart by love is thus, with the sweetest of pain beguiled, aspiration. I do not think with my two arms to touch the sky. I do not dream to do almighty things, so small a singing bird may never soar so high, to beat the sapphire fire with baffled wings. I do not think with my two arms to touch the sky. I do not dream by any chance to share with deathless gods the bliss of Paphos they deny to men behind the azure veil of air. Hero of Gyara, I taught Hero of Gyara, the swift runner, swifter far was she than Atalanta, when through clinging fleece of her wind-rippled garments blushed the glimmer of her limbs. I taught Hero of Gyara, the swift runner, lovelier was she than Atalanta, when the straining vision of the suitor saw her beauty mock impending death. I taught Hero of Gyara, the swift runner, all the singing numbers of Terpander, meters of Archilochus and Alcmen, and my melic verse that glows supreme. I taught Hero of Gyara, the swift runner, sapphics with their triple surge of music, melting in the final verse Adonic, like the foam fall of a spended wave. Courage, faint not in thy strong heart, nor downcast, stand apart beyond the reach of daring, while there lies no beauty's prize. Faint not in thy strong heart, through temple, field, and mart, courage alone the guerdon from the fray may bear away, the boast of Ares. Ares said he would drag Hephaestus by force from Poseidon's palace. Deep down in the sea, where he had fashioned the cunning throne with the secret chains, he presented the throne, forsooth, as a gift to the Queen of Heaven, but Hera soon found for revenge on her, who had him cast from the home of gods, for secure in its clasp of adamant gold. She was held imprisoned, the prey of his guile, and Hephaestus knew, by him alone, could the queen be freed. But the great god of war made boast of his strength, he would bring the forger of metals and tricks on high to release Hera an end. Her enraged despair, Ares said he would drag Hephaestus by force, but was made to waver and flee when assailed with a blazing brand by the dark god of the underworld, gold. Gold is the son of Zeus, immortal, bright, nor moth nor worm may eat it, nor rust tarnish. So are the muses' gifts, the offspring fair, that merit from high heaven youth eternal, Nomix. I, my ways are quiet, none may find my temper of malignant kind, for one should check the words that start when anger spreads within the heart. Roman 2, who from my hands what I can spare of gifts except the largest share, those are the very ones who boast no gratitude and wrong me most. Roman 3, he who in face and form is fair must needs be good, the gods declare, but he whose thought and act are right will soon be equal fair to sight. Roman 4, beauty of youth is but the flower of spring, whose pleasure lasts an hour, while worth that knows no mortal doom is like the amaranthine bloom. Pride, pride not thyself upon a ring or any trinket thing of fleeting value, dross or gold. Wealth lacking worth is no safe friend, though both to life may lend in just proportion joy untold. Leto and Niobe, Leto and Niobe were friends full dear. The goddess heart and woman's heart were one in that maternal love that men revere, love that endures when other loves are done. But Niobe, with all a mother's pride, artless and foolish, would not be denied, and boasted that her children were more fair than Leto's lovely children of the air. The proud Olympians vowed revenge for this. Irate Apollo angered Artemis, they slew her children, heedless of her moan, and with the last her heart was turned to stone. The dye from Scythian wood they brew, the dye whose yellow hue turns gold the lovely hair of lesbians fair, so Xanthi's slave of mine shall dip the fleeces fine and dye the robes I made, a saffron shade, erotica dithyrams, hymn to Paphia, immortal Paphia. Have I earned thy hate, that I should burn in passion's fatal flame? Is not my constant service thine to claim, my prayers appeal with praise of the elate? Has not my life been one sole hymn of thee, one quivering chord on love's harp overwrought? My soul has trembled up to thee in thought, probed to its depth thy every ecstasy. Are not my countless heartbeats each a vow, of tribute throbs a garland, for thy gain? The fates have drenched my soul in passion's rain, Pieria's roses twined about my brow, the virgin harvest of my heart was thine. I shuddered in the joy that half consumed, the votive garlands on thy altar bloomed, my days were songs to nights of bliss divine. Why try me then with torture, gracious queen? Why verge me on this rapture's dread abyss? Hold breast from breast and stay the yearning kiss. Ah, couldst thou fashion pain that stung less keen? The throe of Tantalus is mine to bear. Beauty that Thetis-like eludes my clasp, glances that lure, that make each breath a gasp, and then disdainful gloat at my despair. Scornful she dwells beyond my ardor's clutch, bathed in an aureole of carnal fire. Oh, bind her equal slave to fond desire. Let passion's tingling warmth her being touch. Come to me, goddess, come as once of old. Hearing my voice implore thee from afar, I drew to earth thy dazzling avatar, accord the smile of piercing bliss untold. Ask me the dear suave question phrased of yore. Sappho, who grieveth now thy mad fond heart, wouldst win her beauty, she who frowns apart. Wild as thou lovest, she soon shall love thee more. O fair Olympian, answer thus, I pray, release me from this torment, yield my arms, the transport thirsted of her folded charms, in glow that welds her heart to mine for I, Eros, from the gnarled branches of the apple trees, the heavy petals, lifted by the breeze, fluttered on puffs of odor fine and fell, in the clear water of the garden well, and some a bolder zephyr blew in sport, across the marble reaches of my court. And some by sudden gusts were wafted wide, toward sea and city, down the mountainside. Lesbos seemed Paphos, isled in rosy glow, green olive hills, the violet veil below, the air was azure fire, and o'er the blue, still see the doves of Aphrodite flew. My dreaming eyes saw Eros from afar, coming from heaven in his mother's car, in purple tunic clad, and at my heart, the god was aiming his relentless dart, he whom fair Aphrodite called her son. She the adored, she the imperial one, he passed as winds that shake the soul as pains, sweet to the heart as fire that warms the veins, he passed and left my limbs dissolved in dew, relaxed and faint with passion quivered through, exhausted with spent thrills of dread delight. A sudden darkness rushing on my sight, passion, now love shakes my soul, a mighty wind from the high mountain falling, full on the oaks of the forest, now limb relaxing it masters, my life and implacable thrills me, rending with anguish and rapture. Now my heart, paining my bosom, pants with desire as a maenad, mad for the orgic revel. Now under my skin run subtle arrows of flame, and my body quivers with surge of emotion. Now long importunate yearnings vanquish with surfeit my reason, fainting my senses forsake me, Aphrodite's praise. O Sappho, why art thou ever singing with praises the blessed? Queen of the heaven, why does the heart in thy bosom ever revert in its yearning? Throb to the goddess, why are thy senses unsated, ever in quest of elusive? Love that is deathless, ah, gracious daughter of Cyprus. Never can I as a mortal tire of thy service. Thou art the breath of my body, the blood in my veins, and the glowing pulse of my bosom, omnipotent, burning, resistless. Thou art the passion that, shaking, masters me ever. Thou art the crisis of rapture, relaxing my limbs, and the melting ebb of emotion, bringing the tears to my lashes, sighs to my lips in the swooning excess of passion. O golden-crowned Aphrodite, grant I shall ever be grateful. Sure of thy favor, worthy the lot of thy priestess, supreme in the song that forever rings with thy praises, the first kiss. And down I set the cushion upon the couch that she, relaxed supine upon it, might give her lips to me as some enamored priestess. At Aphrodite's shrine, entranced I bent above her, with sense of the divine she had by nature nubile, in years a child, no hint of any secret knowledge, of passion's least intent. Her mouth for immolation was ripe, and mine the art, and one long kiss of passion deflowered her virgin heart. Ode to Athis. I loved you, Athis, once, long years ago. My blood was flame that thrilled to passion's throe. Now long neglect has quenched the olden fire. and blight of drifting years efface desire. I loved you, at highs, joy of long ago. Love shook my soul as winds on forests blow, this lawless heart that dared exhaust delight, unsated strove and maddened through the night. I loved you at highs once long years ago, with pain whose surge I felt to anguish grow, suffered the storms that waste the heart and leave. A desert shore where seas but break to grieve. I loved you at highs spring of long ago, watched you depart to Andromeda go, then I as keen despair its shadow cast, or my deserted threshold sobbing past. I loved you at highs once long years ago, the thought of me is hateful now, I know, and all the lavish tenderness of old has gone from me and left my bosom cold. I loved you at highs dream of long ago, asterisk. How the fond words impassioned music low sustain the sigh of love's divine regret. No length of time may bid the heart forget comparison. Less soft a Tyrian robe of texture fine, less delicate a rose than flesh of thine, whiter thy breast than snow, that virgin lies, and deeper than the blue of seas thy eyes, more golden than the fruit of orange trees, thy locks that floating lure, the sadder breeze, less fine of silver string, an Orphic lyre. Less sweet than thy low laugh, that wakes desire. The sacrifice, upon a cushion soft, my limbs I place, my every garment doffed for deeper grace from burning doves embalmed in Bacchus, the scented fumes have calmed me like a kiss. Beyond the phallic shrine that tripod's light, I pledge with holy wine an image white anadiomene than foam more fair, when from the ravished sea she rose to air, daughter of God, accept these gifts of mine. Last night my body slept in arms divine, these sated lips and eyes that erstwhile sued accord this sacrifice. In gratitude, Leda once on a time. They say that Leda found beneath the time an egg upon the ground, and yet the swan she fondled long ago was whiter than its shell of peeping snow amoebium. Alcius and Sappho, Alcusius, violet weaving Sappho, pure and lovely. Softly smiling Sappho, I would utter something that my secret hope has cherished. Did no painful sense of shame deter me? Sappho, had the impulse of thy heart been honest, it had urged no evil supplication, shame had not abashed thy eyes before me. And thy words had done thee no dishonor, Alcius. Softly smiling Sappho, longing bids me tell thee all that in my heart lies hidden. Sappho, have no fear, Alcius, to offend me. Thy emotion stirs my heart to pity, Alcius. I desire thee, violet-weaving Sappho, love thee madly, softly smiling Sappho. Sappho, hush, Alcius, thou must choose a younger comrade for thy couch, for I would never join thy years to mine, the gods forbid it. Youth and ardent fire to age and ashes, the love of Selene. Across the still sea's moonlit wave, Selene came, softly to seek the Latmian cave, her breast aflame, with secret passion's ruthless throw, her scruples done and burning with desire to know Endymion. The Cretan dance as the moon in all her splendor slowly rose above the forest. Silent stood the Cretan women round the altar. Girdled closed their clinging tunics, made of some transparent fabric, traced the every curve and lissom of their bodies, with revering eyes uplifted, to the round and rising planet. Soon its drifting beams of silver lit their faces, soft and clear its sphere effulgent, full defined above the treetops, steeped in pale, unearthly glamour all the landscape when the argent glimmer rested on the altar piled with garlands, and its glow unveiled the marble. Aphrodite, linking hands, the Cretan women, moving gracefully with metric, steps began to dance a measure to the goddess. All so light their feet unsandaled, pressed the velvet grass in treading, that they scarcely bruised its tender. Blooming verdure, slowly turning in a circle, to the east their voices chanted, in a plaintive note the sacred, Ithyphallix. Then they paused, their steps retracing toward the west and answered strophe, by antistrophe with choric, tones accordant with the aftersong apodic, standing all before the altar. Lo, the hymn in praise of Paphos was completed to Alcius, countless are the cups thou drainest, in thy hymns to Dionysos, O Alcius, war and wine alone thou singest, wherefore not of Aphrodite, O Alcius. Spacious halls are thine where many, trophies hang in Ares' honor, O Alcius. Brazen shields and shining helmets, plates of brass, Chalcidian broadswords, O Alcius, when with winter roars the Thracian, north wind through the leafless forest, O Alcius, thou dost heap the fire and banish, care with many a tawny goblet, O Alcius, hyperchem. Thus contend the maidens in the Cretic dance, rosy arms that glisten, eyes that glance, cheeks as fair as blossoms, parted lips that glow, with their honeyed voices. Chanting low with their plastic bodies, swaying to the flute, moving with the music, never mute, graceful the orchestric figures they unfold, while the vesper heaven turns to gold, turns to gold. Larichus, while charming maids plait garlands for thy brows, Larichus, bring the pledge for this carouse, like lovely Ganymede, brother mine, and cool from thy patera pour the wine. Thy slender limbs have all a satyr's grace, Hylas, the wood god, dimples in thy face, these maids of mine, beloved and loving me. My dreams have made thy nymphs to sport with thee. I heard fair Mytilene's plaudits cease, or Lycas, Menon, and Dinomenes, and hail thy beauty worthy of the prize, cupbearer to the council of the wise. No noble youth the Prytaneum holds, whose graceful form the purple tunic folds, can match with thee when on affairs of state. All Lesbos gathers with the wise and great. Spring, come, shell divine, be vocal now for me, as when the Hebrus river and the sea to Lesbos bore on waves harmonious. The head and golden lyre of Orpheus, Calliope, queen of the tuneful throng, descend and be the muse of melic song, for through my frame life's tides renewing bring the glad vein-warming vigor of the spring. The skies that dome the earth with far blue fire make the wide land one temple of desire. Just now across my cheek I felt a god. In the enraptured breeze past Zephyrshad, was that Pan's flute, oh it highs, that we heard, or the soft love note of a woodland bird, that flame a scarlet wing that skimmed the stream? Or the red flash of our impassioned dream? Ah, soon again we two shall gather fair, garlands of dill and rose to deck our bare, white arms that cling, white breast that burns to breast, when the long night of love shall banish rest, girlfriends, prelude deftly on my little seven-stringed barbitos, now to please my girlfriends, songs I set to music. Maidens fair, companions of the muses, never, toward you shall my feelings, undergo a change, chanted in a plaintive old Ionic measure, all the songs I give you. Are the songs of love, Andromeda, what bucolic maiden now thy heart bewitches, O my Andromeda of the strange amours, round her awkward ankles, she has not the faintest sense of art to draw her, long ungraceful tunic, yet she surely makes thee, O my Andromeda, for thy sweet unlawful, love affair requital, joy and praise attend thee, in thy keen perceptive, taste for beauty, daughter of Polyanax, Eunaica, Aphrodite's handmaid, bright as gold thou earnest, tender woven garlands. Round thy tender neck, sweet as soft persuasion, lissome as the graces, shy Eunaica, lovely, girl from Salamis, slender thou as Syrinx, as the waving reed nymph, once by Pan, the god of summer winds, deflowered on thy lips whose quiver seems to plead for pity, mine shall rest and linger like the mouth of Pan on the mouth of Syrinx, when his breath that filled her blew through all her body, music of his love, Gorgo. Gorgo, I am weary of thy love's insistence, thou to me appearest, an ill-favored child. Though I am than Jello, fonder still of virgins, toward thee I have never felt the least desire, yesternight I knew not what to do, for pity moved my bosom deeply, seeing thee implore, harassed by alternate yielding and refusal, I was half persuaded, then to grant thy prayer, at my door thy presence lingers like a shadow, vain wouldst thou reproach me, with appealing eyes, dost thou think by constant proofs of lasting passion, slowly my obdurate will to wear away, Gorgo, I am weary of thy love's insistence, and my strength exhausted, grants thy wish at last, Mnasidica, set, Odica, garlands on thy lovely glinting mass of fine and golden tresses, sprays of dill with fingers soft and twining, while I stand apart to better judge those who have fair wreaths about the forehead, breathing Brenthian odor to the senses, ever first find favor with the graces, who from wreathless suppliants turn away, Dica, Mnasidica, thou art shapely, with the flowing curves of Aphrodite, eyes the color of her azure ocean. Washing wide on Cyprus' languid shore, in thy every movement grace unconscious, sways the rhythmic poem of thy body, charming with elusive undulation, like a splendid lily in the wind, as I stand apart to judge the better, fair effects that roses add to beauty. All thy rays of loveliness concentered, sun me till I swoon with swift desire, Telesippa, sleep thou in the bosom of thy tender girlfriend, Telesippa, gentle maiden from Miletus, like twin petals shyly, closing to the darkness, dewy on your drooping, lids shall fall her kisses, while her arms enfold you on your drowsy senses, shall her soft caresses seal delicious languor, warm from her desireful heart the flush of passion on your cheek unconscious, with her sighs shall deepen all the long sweet nighttime. Sleepless while you slumber, she shall lie and quiver with her love's mad longing. Gerino, now the silver crescent of the moon has vanished, with the golden Pleiades drifting down the west, it is after midnight, and the time is passing, hours we pledge to passion, and I sleep alone, anger ill becomes thee, tender-souled Gyrinno, shapelier is Dica, but less loved by me. Art thou still relentless, willful one, annulling all thy protestations? In the fervid past, can it, O Charites, be thou hast forgot? Dost thou love another? Even now, perchance, ah, my tears are falling, yet in my despairing mood I lie and listen for thy furtive step, for the lightest rustle of thy flowing garment, for thy sweet and panting whisper at the door, now the moon has vanished, with the golden Pleiades it is after midnight, and I sleep alone, Megara, thou burnest us, Megara, with thy passions wild bringing from Panarmus, such unbridled fires, thou burnest us, a supple flow of tortured flame, raging, biting, searing. Lawless of the will, thou burnest us, Megara, love must know reserve, curbing power to keep it, keener for restraint, Erina haughtier than thou, O fair Erina, I have never met with any maiden, such a careless scorn as thine for passion, proves a dire affront to Aphrodite. When with soft desire she wounds thy bosom, thou shalt know love's pain and doubly suffer. Keep the gifts I gave thee, long rejected fabrics for thy lap from far Phocia, Babylonian unguents, scented sandals. And the costly mitra for thy tresses, tripods worked in brass to flank the altar, with the ivory figure of the goddess where the sacrificial fumes from sacred flames shall rise to gladden and appease her. In the hour when at her call thy fervid breast and mouth to mine shall be relinquished, Gongla, it was when the sunset burned with saffron fire, and Apollo's coursers turned below the hills, that on Mytilene's marble bridge we met, Gongla, thou golden, maid of Colophon, like the breath of morning. Or a breeze from sea, fresh thy beauty smote me, virile of the north, startled by thy vision, transports half divine, flooded veins and bosom, shook me with desire. Soon the kinder sunglow of Aeolic lands melted all the feudal snows about thy heart, Damophila, cold of heart and strangely, uninclined to passion, wisdom's vigil leaves thee, proud Damophila, sapphics thou hast written, verses in my meter, with a skill surpassing, in the melic art, love's superb enchantment, thou art fain to banish. Like the virgin huntress, long by thee adored, molded by thy tunic, every arching contour of her chaste and noble, form I dream to see even view her stepping from the leafy covert down the dawn-white valley, stately as a stag, long I sued but found thee deaf to all entreaty, till one summer twilight. Listless in the heat, soothed by slumber's languor and my low monotic voice that hymned a paean, in the praise of love loth to yield yet vanquished, as I knelt beside thee, all thy long resistance, to my kiss succumbed. Anagora, Anagora, fairest, spoil of fateful battle, Babylonian temples, knew thy luring song, wrested from barbaric captors for thy beauty, thou wert made a priestess at Mylitta's shrine, once these flexil fingers clasped in mine so closely, neath the temple's arches, thrummed the tabor soft, thou hast taught me secrets of the cryptic chambers, how the Zanas worship, in the burning east raptures that my wildest, dreaming never pictured, arts of love that charmed me, subtle, new and strange. Hearken to my earnest prayer, O Aphrodite, may the night be doubled now for our delight. Phaon, Philomel, Philomel in my garden, messenger sweet of springtide, from the bough of the olive tree utter, tidings ecstatic, linger long on thy olden. Note as in days remembered ere the boatman that knew Aphrodite ravished my vision, fatal glamour of beauty, beauty of gods made mortal, ah, before its delight I am ever fearful of heaven, spring in breeze and the blossom, grasses and leaves and odors. On my heart with the breath of a vanished, April is shaken, shaken with thrill and regret of lost caresses and kisses, Anactoria's memory, Atai's never forgotten, Philomel in my garden, messenger sweet of springtide, from the bough of the olive tree utter, tidings ecstatic, golden pulse. Golden pulse grew on the shore, ferns along the hill, and the red cliff roses bore, bees to drink their fill, bees that from the meadows bring, wine of Melilot, honey sups on golden wing, to the garden grot. But to me, neglected flower, Phaon will not see, passion brings no crowning hour, honey nor the bee, the swallow, daughter of Pandion, lovely, swallow that veers at my window, swift on the flood of the sunshine, darting thy shadow, what is thy innocent purpose? Why dost thou hover and haunt me, is it a kinship of sorrow? Brings the Aenar me, must thou forever be tongueless, flying in fear of Tereus, must he for Ides pursue thee? Changed to a lapwing, tireless of pinion, and never, resting on bush or the branches. Close to the earth, up the azure, over the treetops, after thy wing in its madness, follows my glance as a flitting child on the track of its mother, hastens in silence, daughter of Pandion, lovely, swallow that veers at my window, haste thou a message from Cyprus, telling of Phaon tidings, she wrapped herself in linen woven close, stuffs delicate and texture fine as those, the dark Nile traders for our bartering, from Egypt, Crete, and far Phocia bring, love lent her feet the wings of winds to reach, whose steps stir not the shingle of the beach my marble court, and breathless, bid me know, my lover's sails across the harbor blow. He seemed to her as to himself he seems, like some bright god long treasured in her dreams, she saw him standing at his galley's prow. My Phaon, mine in Mytilene now, Hesperus, Hesperus shines low on the eastern wave, off toward the Asian shore over faint lines, whose grays and purples pave, where seas night-calmed adore, fair vesper fire, fairest of stars, the light. Benign of secret bliss, star of desire, bringing to me with night, dreams and my Phaon's kiss, dawn, just now the golden sandaled dawn, peered through the lattice of my room. Why must thou fare so soon, my Phaon? Last night I met thee at the shore. 1,000 hues were in the sky, the breeze from Cyprus blew, my Phaon. I drew to lave thy heated brow, my kerchief dripping from the sea. Why hadst thou sailed so far, my Phaon, far up the narrow mountain paths? We heard the shepherds fluting home, like some white god thou seemed, my Phaon, and through the olive trees we saw the twinkle of my vesper lamp. Wilt kiss me now as then, my Phaon? Nay, loosen not with gentle force the clasp of my restraining arms. I will not let thee go, my Phaon. See deftly in my trailing robe I spring and draw the lattice close. Is it not night again, my Phaon? The farewell. Beloved, stand face to face, and, lifting lids, disclose to me the grace, the Paphic fire that lingers yet and lies reflected in thy eyes. Phaon, my soul beloved, stand not to my mad passion all unmoved. Oh, let ere thou to far Panormus sail, 1 hour of love prevail, dear and great, come and let thy breath like odor from a cassolet, thy smile, the clinging touch of lips and heart, anoint me ere we part. Phaon, I yearn and seek but thee alone, and what I feel must speak in all these fond and willful ways of mine. O mortal, maid divine, my girl friends now no more, hang their sweet gifts of garlands at my door, dear maids, with all your vanished empery. Ye now are not to me, Phaon, thy galley rides within the harbor's mouth and waits the tides, and favoring winds far to the west to fly, and leave me here to die. The brawny rowers lean to bend long-stroking oars and changing scene, and fairer loves than mine shall soon efface this last divine embrace. Phaon, the lifting breeze, see, at thy feet I kneel and clasp thy knees. Go not, go not. Oh, hear my sobbing prayer, and yield to my despair. Dark-eyed sleep, child of night, come in thy shadow garment to my couch, and with thy soothing touch, cool as the vesper breeze, grant that I may forget, bestow condign release, a taste of rest that comes with endless sleep, lure off the haunting dreams, the dire Eumenides, that torture my repose, for I would live a space. Though Phaon has forsaken me, nor yet be found on shadow fields among the lilies tall of pale Persephone, the cliff of Eleusias, a far-seen cliff, stands in the western sea toward Cephallenian lands. Apollo's temple crowns its whitened crest, and at its base the waves eternal beat. Its leap has power to cure the pangs of unrequited love. Thither pale lovers go with anguished hearts to dare the deep and quench love's slow-consuming flame, urged to the edge by maddening desire. I too shall fling myself, imploring thee, Apollo, lord and king, into the chill embraces of the sea. Less cold than thine, O Phaon, I shall fall, fall with the flutter of a wounded dove, and I shall rise, indifferent forever to love's dream, or find below the sea's eternal voice, eternal peace epigrams, the dust of Timas. This is the dust of Timas. Here inurned, rest the dear ashes where so late had burned her spirit's flame. She perished, gentle maid, before her bridal day, and now a shade. Silent and sad, she evermore must be in the dark chamber of Persephone, when life had faded with the flower and leaf. Each girlfriend sweet, in token of her grief, resigned her severed locks with bended head, beauty's fair tribute to the lovely dead, the priestess of Artemis. Maidens that pass my tomb with laughter sweet, a voice unresting echoes at your feet, pause, and if any would my story seek, dumb as I am, these graven words will speak, once in the vanished years it chanced to please Arista, daughter of Hermoclades, to dedicate my life in virgin bliss. To thee, revered of women, Artemis, O goddess, deign to bless my grandsire's line. For Phaon was a temple priest of thine, and grant, O queen, in thy benefic grace, unending fame and fortune to his race. Pelagon, above the lowly grave of Pelagon, ill-fated fisher lad Meniscus' son, his father placed as sign of storm and strife, the wheel and oar, memorial of his life, Phinney's index, Sapphix, the muses, Musigetes, love's banquet. Moon and stars, ode to Aenacitoriae, the rose, ode to Aphrodite, summer, the garden of the nymphs, Aphrodite's doves, Anacreon's song, the daughter of Cyprus, the distaff, the sleep wind, the reproach long ago, epithalamia. Tharionodes, Hymenaeus, bridal song, epithalamium, Pyria's rose, lament for Adonis, the stricken flower, death, Persephone, Parthenia. Didikitaka, maidenhood, ever maiden clays, aspiration, hero, of Gyara, courage, the boast of Ares, gold, nomics, pride. Leto and Niobe, the die erotica. Dietiatuarambias, hymn to Papha, Eros, passion. Aphrodite's praise, the first kiss, ode to Attis, comparison, the sacrifice, Leda amibium. Alcius and Sappho, the love of Selene, the Cretan dance to Alcius, Hyperchem, Larichus, spring, girlfriends, prelude, Andromeda, Unica, Gorgo, Emnasidica, Telesippa, Gerino, Megara, Arena, Gongola, Damophila, Anagora, Phaon, Philomel, golden pulse, the swallow, tidings, Hesperus, dawn, the farewell. Dark-eyed sleep, the cliff of Eleusias, Epigrams, the dust of Timaeus, the priestess of Artemis, Pelagon. End of the project GUTMBRG EBOOK the POEMS of Sappho. An interpretative rendition into English asterisk. Updated editions will replace the previous one. The old editions will be renamed. Creating the works from print editions not protected by U.S. copyright. Law means that no one owns a United States copyright in these works, so the Foundation and you can copy and distribute it in the United States without permission and without paying copyright royalties. Special rules set forth in the general terms of use part of this license apply to copying and distributing project. Gutenberg trademark electronic works to protect the project GUTMBRGTM concept and trademark. Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark and may not be used if you charge for an ebook, except by following the terms of the trademark license, including paying royalties for use of the Project Gutenberg trademark. If you do not charge anything for copies of this ebook, complying with the trademark license is very easy. You may use this ebook for nearly any purpose, such as creation of derivative works, reports, performances, and research. Project Gutenberg ebooks may be modified and printed and given away. You may do practically anything in the United States with ebooks not protected by U.S. copyright law. Redistribution is subject to the trademark license, especially commercial redistribution. Start full license. The full project GUTMBRGTM license. Please read this before you distribute or use this work to protect the Project Gutenberg trademark mission of promoting the free distribution of electronic works by using or distributing this work or any other work associated in any way with the phrase Project Gutenberg. You agree to comply with all the terms of the full Project Gutenberg license available with this file or online at www.gutenberg.org/license. Section 1. General Terms of Use and Redistributing Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. 1. A. By reading or using any part of this Project Gutenberg electronic work, you indicate that you have read, understand, agree to, and accept all the terms of this license and intellectual property trademark copyright agreement. If you do not agree to abide by all the terms of this agreement, you must cease using and return or destroy all copies of Project Gutenberg electronic works in your possession. If you paid a fee for obtaining a copy of or access to a Project Gutenberg electronic work and you do not agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement, you may obtain a refund from the person or entity to whom you paid the fee as set forth in paragraph 1E8, 1B. Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark. It may only be used on or associated in any way with an electronic work by people who agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement. There are a few things that you can do with most Project Gutenberg electronic works, even without complying with the full terms of this agreement. C. Paragraph 1C below. There are a lot of things you can do with Project Gutenberg electronic works if you follow the terms of this agreement and help preserve free future access to Project Gutenberg electronic works. See paragraph 1E below 1C. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the Foundation or PGLAF, owns a compilation copyright in the collection of Project Gutenberg electronic works. Nearly all the individual works in the collection are in the public domain in the United States. If an individual work is unprotected by copyright law in the United States and you are located in the United States, we do not claim a right to prevent you from copying, distributing, performing, displaying, or creating derivative works based on the work as long as all references to Project Gutenberg are removed. Of course, we hope that you will support the Project Gutenberg mission of promoting free access to electronic works by freely sharing Project Gutenberg works in compliance with the terms of this agreement for keeping the Project Gutenberg name associated with the work. You can easily comply with the terms of this agreement by keeping this work in the same format with its attached full Project Gutenberg license when you share it without charge with others. 1D. The copyright laws of the place where you are located also govern what you can do with this work. Copyright laws in most countries are in a constant state of change. If you are outside the United States, check the laws of your country in addition to the terms of this agreement before downloading, copying, displaying, performing, distributing, or creating derivative works based on this work or any other Project Gutenberg work. The Foundation makes no representations concerning the copyright status of any work in any country other than the United States. 1E. Unless you have removed all references to Project Gutenberg, 1E1, the following sentence with active links to or other immediate access to the full Project Gutenberg license must appear prominently whenever any copy of a Project Gutenberg work, any work, on which the phrase Project Gutenberg appears or with which the phrase Project Gutenberg is associated is accessed, displayed, performed, viewed, copied, or distributed. This ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms of the Project Gutenberg trademark license included with this ebook or online at www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook. 1. E2. If an individual Project Gutenberg electronic work is derived from texts not protected by U.S. copyright law, does not contain a notice indicating that it is posted with permission of the copyright holder, the work can be copied and distributed to anyone in the United States without paying any fees or charges. If you are redistributing or providing access to work with the phrase Project Gutenberg associated with or appearing on the work, you must comply either with the requirements of paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7 or obtain permission for the use of the work and the Project Gutenberg trademark as set forth in paragraphs 1E8 or 1E9. 1E3. If an individual Project Gutenberg electronic work is posted with the permission of the copyright holder, your use and distribution must comply with both paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7 and any additional terms imposed by the copyright holder. Additional terms will be linked to the Project Gutenberg license for all works posted with the permission of the copyright holder found at the beginning of this work. 1E4. Do not unlink or detach or remove the full Project Gutenberg license terms from this work or any files containing a part of this work or any other work associated with Project Gutenberg. 1E5. Do not copy, display, perform, distribute, or redistribute this electronic work or any part of this electronic work without prominently displaying the sentence set forth in paragraph 1E1 with active links or immediate access to the full terms of the Project Gutenberg license. 1E6. You may convert to and distribute this work in any binary, compressed, marked up, non-proprietary, or proprietary form, including any word processing or hypertext form. However, if you provide access to or distribute copies of a Project Gutenberg work in a format other than plain vanilla ASCII or other format used in the official version posted on the official Project Gutenberg website, www.gutenberg.org, you must, at no additional cost, fee, or expense to the user, provide a copy, a means of exporting a copy, or a means of obtaining a copy upon request of the work in its original, plain vanilla ASCII or other form. Any alternate format must include the full Project Gutenberg license as specified in paragraph 1E1-1E7. Do not charge a fee for access to, viewing, displaying, performing, copying, or distributing any Project Gutenberg works, unless you comply with paragraph 1E8 or 1E9. 1E8. You may charge a reasonable fee for copies of or providing access to or distributing Project Gutenberg electronic works, provided that you pay a royalty fee of 20% of the gross profits you derive from the use of Project Gutenberg works calculated using the method you already use to calculate your applicable taxes. The fee is owed to the owner of the Project Gutenberg trademark, but he has agreed to donate royalties under this paragraph to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Royalty payments must be paid within 60 days following each date on which you prepare or are legally required to prepare your periodic tax returns. Royalty payments should be clearly marked as such and sent to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation at the address specified in Section 4, Information about donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. You provide a full refund of any money paid by a user who notifies you in writing or by email within 30 days of receipt that /he does not agree to the terms of the full Project Gutenberg trademark license. You must require such a user to return or destroy all copies of the works possessed in a physical medium and discontinue all use of and all access to other copies of Project Gutenberg trademark works. You provide, in accordance with paragraph 1F3, a full refund of any money paid for a work or a replacement copy if a defect in the Electronic work is discovered and reported to you within 90 days of receipt of the work. You comply with all other terms of this agreement for free. Distribution of Project Gutenberg trademark works. 1. E9. If you wish to charge a fee or distribute a Project Gutenberg trademark electronic work or group of works on different terms than are set forth in this agreement, you must obtain permission in writing from the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the manager of the Project Gutenberg trademark. Contact the foundation as set forth in section 3 below, 1F1F1. Project Gutenberg volunteers and employees expend considerable effort to identify, do copyright research on, transcribe, and proofread works not protected by U.S. copyright law in creating the Project Gutenberg trademark collection. Despite these efforts, Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works and the medium on which they may be stored may contain defects, such as but not limited to incomplete, inaccurate, or corrupt data, transcription errors, a copyright or other, intellectual property infringement, a defective or damaged disk or other medium, a computer virus or computer codes that damage or cannot be read by your equipment. 1F2. Limited warranty, disclaimer of DAMAGES, except for the right of replacement or refund described in paragraph 1F3, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the owner of the Project Gutenberg trademark, and any other party distributing a Project Gutenberg trademark electronic work under this agreement, disclaim all liability to you for damages, costs, and expenses, including legal fees. You agree that you have no remedies for negligence, strict liability, breach of warranty, or breach of contract, except those provided in paragraph 1F3. You agree that the foundation, THE, trademark owner, and any distributor under this agreement will not be liable to you for actual, direct, indirect, consequential, punitive, or incidental damages, even if you give notice of the possibility of such damage. 1F3. Limited right of replacement or refund. If you discover a defect in this electronic work within 90 days of receiving it, you can receive a refund of the money, if any, you paid for it by sending a written explanation to the person you received the work from. If you receive the work on a physical medium, you must return the medium with your written explanation. The person or entity that provided you with the defective work may elect to provide a replacement copy in lieu of a refund. If you receive the work electronically, the person or entity providing it to you may choose to give you a second opportunity to receive the work electronically in lieu of a refund. If the second copy is also defective, you may demand a refund in writing without further opportunities to fix the problem. 1F4. Except for the limited right of replacement or refund set forth in paragraph 1F3, this work is provided to you as is with no other warranties of any kind, express or implied, including but not limited to warranties of merchantability or fitness for any purpose. 1F5. Some states do not allow disclaimers of certain implied warranties or the exclusion or limitation of certain types of damages. If any disclaimer or limitation set forth in this agreement violates the law of the state applicable to this agreement, the agreement shall be interpreted to make the maximum disclaimer or limitation permitted by the applicable state law. The invalidity or unenforceability of any provision of this agreement shall not void the remaining provisions. 1F6. Indemnity. You agree to indemnify and hold the foundation, the trademark owner, any agent or employee of the foundation, anyone providing copies of Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works in accordance with this agreement, and any volunteers associated with the production, promotion, and distribution of Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works, harmless from all liability, costs, and expenses, including legal fees that arise directly or indirectly from any of the following which you do or cause to occur: a distribution of this or any Project Gutenberg work, b alteration, modification, or additions or deletions to any Project Gutenberg work, and c any defect you cause. Section 2. Information about the mission of Project Gutenberg. Project Gutenberg is synonymous with the free distribution of electronic works in formats readable by the widest variety of computers, including obsolete, old, middle-aged, and new computers. It exists because of the efforts of hundreds of volunteers and donations from people in all walks of life. Volunteers and financial support to provide volunteers with the assistance they need are critical to reaching Project Gutenberg goals and ensuring that the Project Gutenberg collection will remain freely available for generations to come. In 2001, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation was created to provide a secure and permanent future for Project Gutenberg and future generations. To learn more about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation and how your efforts and donations can help, see Sections 3 and 4 and the Foundation Information page at www.gutenberg.org, Section 3. Information about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation is a nonprofit, 501(c)(3) educational corporation organized under the laws of the State of Mississippi and granted tax-exempt status by the Internal Revenue Service. The foundation's EIN, or federal tax identification, number is 64622-1541. Contributions to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation are tax deductible to the full extent permitted by U.S. federal laws and your state's laws. The foundation's business office is located at 41 Watchung Plaza 516, Montclair, NJ 7042, USA, plus 1-862-621-9288. Email contact links and up-to-date contact information can be found at the foundation's website and official page at www.gutenberg.org/contact. Section 4. Information about donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Project Gutenberg trademark depends upon and cannot survive without widespread public support and donations to carry out its mission of increasing the number of public domain and licensed works that can be freely distributed in machine-readable form accessible by the widest array of equipment, including outdated equipment. Many small donations, $1 to $5,000, are particularly important to maintaining tax-exempt status with the IRS. The foundation is committed to complying with the laws regulating charities and charitable donations in all 50 states of the United States. Compliance requirements are not uniform, and it takes a considerable effort, much paperwork, and many fees to meet and keep up with these requirements. We do not solicit donations in locations where we have not received written confirmation of compliance. To send donations or determine the status of compliance for any particular state, visit www.gutenberg.org/donate. While we cannot and do not solicit contributions from states where we have not met the solicitation requirements, we know of no prohibition against accepting unsolicited donations from donors in such states who approach us with offers to donate. International donations are gratefully accepted, but we cannot make any statements concerning tax treatment of donations received from outside the United States. U.S. laws alone swamp our small staff. Please check the Project Gutenberg web pages for current donation methods and addresses. Donations are accepted in a number of other ways, including checks, online payments, and credit card donations. To donate, please visit www.gutenberg.org/donate. Section 5. General information about Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. Professor Michael S. Hart was the originator of the Project Gutenberg concept of a library of electronic works that could be freely shared with anyone. For 40 years, he produced and distributed Project Gutenberg ebooks with only a loose network of volunteer support. Project Gutenberg ebooks are often created from several printed editions, all of which are confirmed as not protected by copyright in the U.S. unless a copyright notice is included. Thus, we do not necessarily keep ebooks in compliance with any particular paper edition. Most people start at our website, which has the main PG search facility, www.gutenberg.org. This website includes information about Project Gutenberg, including how to make donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, how to help produce our new ebooks, and how to subscribe to our email newsletter to hear about new ebooks. This is the end of the audiobook. Thank you for listening. You can listen to and download more audiobooks at threeords.com.